Boy, where would we be with not him not being alive, you know? You think about that. Got something here I want to read before I get into my message. And I want you to listen. When I get started, some of you's going to be able to quote this right along with me. But it says, "Today I went down to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, I try to get something new, and the Lord gives you something new. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 10. I titled this message simply, "Thanks to Calvary." And as Brother Larry just sung, he's not dead. But praise God, he's alive and alive forevermore. And it's amazing how God works these things out. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 10, this is where Saul is first anointed king. As a young lad, as a young man, as a young boy. And I thought, man, that would be great for graduation to say you don't have to wait till you're 50 years old for God to use you. God can use you at any time, long as you're willing to allow Him to use you. And I have regretted many times in my life, since I got saved in 93, I was born in 1969. And I lived all those years for the devil. And I waited so late to get saved, and all those years I look back and I throwed all of that away. What could I have accomplished? What could have been done in my life if I'd have gave my heart and life to Jesus and said, "Here am I, use me, Lord." And as Saul was a young man, let's read what happened here. In this passage, we're just going to read the first 9 verses. You can go home and read the rest of it, and it will bless your heart. But the Bible says in verse 1, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it on the on his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? And when thou art departed from me today, then shall find 2 men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin and Zilzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and soweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel. Now that word Bethel means a place of God, or God is in this place, all right? That's what that word Bethel means. I say Bethel, it's broke down as Bethel, all right? But that means a place of God. God shall meet thee going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves and bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves, which thou shalt receive of their hand. And thou shalt come to the hill of God. I like that. Where the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets, saying, come down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret, and pipe and harp before him, and they shall prophesy. That word prophesy simply means foretelling of one's future. That's what the word prophecy or prophesy means, all right? And the Spirit, here's my verse. Now watch this closely. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them. Now watch. And shall be turned into another man. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, I don't go to the places I used to go. Thanks to Calvary, I am a different man. Watch, let me read on. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion, watch, serve thee, God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, and the sacrifice of peace offering. 7 days, y'all know what seven means, completion, correct? That's what seven means in your Bible. 7 days thou shalt tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. Here it is. And it was so, and when he had turned back to go to Samuel, God gave him another heart. Thank God we're not the people we used to be. Thanks to Calvary, we are not that way anymore. Father, thank you to Calvary this morning. Lord, as I got to studying this and reading, Scripture come to my mind more real than ever before. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Lord, I'm so thankful for Calvary this morning. Lord, I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds this morning. And Lord, that we would get a glimpse of Calvary today. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to go back and let our minds reminisce on the day we got saved. And help us to realize, Lord, because of the shedding of blood, Lord, and because that blood was applied to our hearts and our lives, we're not the same people anymore. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, if there's one lost and undone without you, I pray that this would be the day they'd give their heart and life to you. Lord, if there's one backslidden on you, Lord, that maybe got away from you, I pray that this would be the day that they'd rededicate their heart and life to you. And Lord, I pray as we enter this graduation service, I pray, Lord, that you would bless these two young men. Lord, they could be thankful for Calvary. And God, I pray that you would guide their steps. But Lord, without Calvary, we couldn't be praying this prayer this morning. Lord, thank you for Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Our lives has to be transformed. When we think about Calvary, when we go to that place, Brother Larry in the song painted a beautiful picture of that hill called Calvary. And as we look on that hill called Calvary, we see a Savior that was born, left the ivory palaces of heaven, and came and was born in old cow stable. That's the picture we get this morning. He was born in a manger, in an old cow stable, because there was no room for him in the inn. The Christmas story, we all know that. But for 33 and a half years, this man was walking around in sin. Sin all around him. Just like you and I. You say, why is that, preacher? So when we take our problems and our griefs to him, he can say, I've already been there. I know what it's like. And here's some grace to get you through. Thanks to Calvary, we're not the way we used to be. And I thought, man, for 33 and a half years, he became sin. The Bible says he became sin, but never knew no sin. But thanks God, he died for sin, and he abolished sin with his precious blood. Thanks to Calvary this morning. If you've been to Calvary this morning, can you say amen? Amen? If you've seen that blood that Jesus shed on Calvary and it changed you because of Calvary, you're no longer the same. Can you say amen? Amen. There's some that couldn't say amen this morning. I don't know who you are, but God does. But Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, I want you to look what the Bible has to say. It simply says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, right? That ye may prove that which is that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Can I say something to you this morning? The perfect will of God is for you to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Listen. Not only to give your life to Jesus Christ, but to live your life for Jesus Christ until He calls you home. Amen. That is the perfect will of God this morning. I know every one of us, there's not a person in this place this morning that has not sinned this week. The Bible says, for all have sinned, right? And come short of the glory of God. Every last one of us have sinned this week, but thanks to Calvary and the blood He shed on Calvary's cross, we can go to Him and give forgiveness of those sins that we have committed this week. I'm glad I serve a God that understands. Did you hear me? He understands that there was temptation this week, that there was sin, and 90% of Christian sin happens in the mind. We think bad thoughts, we think things through, and we sin and come short of the glory. But always go back to Calvary and take a good glimpse of that man hanging on that old tree. where those three old rusty nails was drove in his hands and in his feet. I've seen this past week, I don't know where these people are getting this, but they said that there's no way that Jesus could hang on a cross with nails through his hands. How many know he's the Son of God? And the Bible says that when he met Thomas after he arose, the Bible says he told Thomas to take his finger and put it into the nail prints in his hands. Is that not right? Don't ever doubt what the Bible says. But thanks to Calvary, because he had those rusty nails drove in his hands and they crossed his feet and drove one through his feet. And as the song says this morning, the blood came streaming down. It didn't just drip off, but bless God, it comes streaming down. You know why it came streaming down? Because our sins were under that blood and it washed them all as white as snow. Praise God. Thank God this morning for Calvary. Our lives must be transformed by the Holy Spirit from the pattern of the world to that of God. Not only do we need to be transformed, I thought, man, you know, Saul here was transformed. He was just a young lad, happy-go-lucky boy. And he was just a young man going out. They had lost some donkeys out. Somebody had got them out, or they got out, and they got out somewhere, and he was just bebopping along. And, man, he was trying to find his daddy's donkeys. And, you know, all of the sudden, if you read on the rest of the story, you'll find out what I'm telling you. But he started looking for the priest. Back in those days, the priest would come to different towns. Now, let me give you a little history. The priest would come to different little towns each part of the month. They might not be back for a month, all right? So what would happen is when that priest would walk into that town, they had a specific place for the priest to house. And that specific place that the priest would house, there was an altar in there that they could sacrifice animals. If you'll notice, I believe it was in verse 8 where Samuel told him that, hey, I will come and we will have sacrifice for the sacrifice. Read, remember that? So that priest had to come in. Nobody else could do this except for the priest. Now I want you to grab a hold of this morning. And when little Saul come into the town, he asked, come to find out it was Samuel the priest. He said, do you know where I can find the priest, the man of God? He said, I am he. Ain't that something how God works? How he put two and two together immediately. How many's ever had a prayer that you prayed answered immediately? I mean, boy, and then some of them just drag out a while. You know what I'm talking about? Well, let me say this. Saul went in, and there's that priest's house, and there was an altar, and Saul and his the guy that was running with him said, hey, man, we don't have nothing to offer. We done drunk or ate our bread, huh? He got to digging a little deeper and he said, I got a half of a shekel of silver. And he said, that's all I've got. We'll give that to the priest. But how many know a little over 2,000 years ago, there was another priest sitting there waiting on you and I? His name was Jesus Christ. He went up, instead of offering a burnt sacrifice, he offered himself as a sacrifice of sacrifices on Calvary. And thanks to Calvary this morning, we don't have to go burn up a little innocent lamb or a goat anymore, because Jesus Christ has made the sacrifice and we don't have to worry about those things anymore. We don't have to go hunt a priest down no more. We don't have to wait 30 days to wait till a man comes in town and we take all of our sins to this one man and he offers a sacrifice for it. We don't have to do that no more. When we sin now, we've got a priest. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I this morning. We can say, Lord, I've sinned. Will you forgive me? And the Bible says that we, if we ask, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God and thanks for Calvary this morning. Boy, some of y'all ain't getting this. But praise God, I'm going to have me a good time without you. Amen. I'm going to keep on. But thanks to Calvary, we're transformed like Saul was. Thank you, Lord, for transforming me. I became another man thanks to Calvary. How many remember the day you got saved? How many remember the day, and let me say this, you don't have to be in the church to get saved, amen? If that's the case, I'm lost because I got saved in an old paint shop. I'm lost this morning. But that ain't the case. Thank God he's not at just one place every 30 days. He's everywhere, and all you got to do is call on his name. Praise God. God wants to clean you up like a diamond in the rough, and some of you's in the rough looking at you. But I'm so glad he can take that old blood, and it don't matter how dirty you are, how filthy you are, how deep in despair you are, how far away from him you are. Thanks to Calvary, he can take that blood and wash you as white as snow and make you new all over again. Praise God. Thanks to Calvary. I want you to understand this morning. Number one, our lives must be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Number two, we must be transformed into the likeness of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll notice, back in verse 6, in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6, I want to show you something here. I got it underlined in my Bible. Man, when I started reading this, it's grabbed a hold of me. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord. You see that? We're transformed into his likeness by the power of the Holy Spirit. Watch, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord will what? Wow. How many remember the day the Holy Ghost come on you? Boy, I won't never forget that time, Brother Zeke. I won't never remember that. I forget that, and I'll always remember. Yeah, I can remember. Brother Zeke was telling us back here one Monday night. He was telling us about how he used to be. And he said that he'd come to church, and all of a sudden one day the Lord got a hold of him and went down into the woods on old stump. He said he got down on his knees and asked the Lord to forgive him, to come into his heart and life, and to save him. And when he asked that question, hey, how many know it wasn't 2 weeks before he got the Holy Spirit? My friend, the moment he asked God to forgive him of his sin, he come into his heart and life and saved him immediately. It wasn't 3 or 4 days. But he was changed by the blood of Jesus Christ and empowered by the Holy Ghost. That happened immediately. And he ain't been the same since. Praise God. When are we going to grab a hold of this, folks? It's not a certain age that God's looking for. It's not a certain ability that God is looking for. What God is looking for is availability. Did you hear me? There's no way I'd be standing here this morning if God was wanting ability. He took something, like I said, He took something out of the rough, amen, and cleaned it up and polished it up. And then He said, I said, Lord, I can't stand in front of nobody. And I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. And He said, you'll just do it. I'll give you what to say when to say it. And bless God, He's been working on it since 96, and I ain't missed a lick yet. Amen. Praise God. Thanks to Calvary. It takes the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. The Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Did y'all hear that? I said the Spirit is what transforms you. How many know if you look at the Bible, anytime you see the Spirit, you're gonna see Jesus. Anytime you see the Spirit, you're gonna see Jesus and you're gonna see the Lord. Amen. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father, and we three are one. Amen. So if you get the Spirit of God, how many know this morning you got Jesus all over you? Praise God. If you ain't got it this morning, I can show you where you can get it. Amen. Bible says, let's finish reading. Now that the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit is of the Lord is, there is liberty. That word liberty means freedom. How many know we are to be able to freely worship God this morning? We are to be able to freely thank God this morning for Calvary. Some of you ain't thankful for Calvary. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because you ain't said nothing yet. I just can't be quiet when you go to talking about Calvary. That changed my life. That changed my way of thinking. That changed me. That changed my direction. I was on my way to hell, but thanks to Calvary, that blood, and Jesus reached His hand way down and picked me up out of the miry pit of sin and set my feet on a solid rock and established my going. He changed my direction. Amen. Praise God. Thanks to Calvary. I'm not the man I used to be. The rest of that says in verse 18, but we all with open faces behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, listen, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I want to break that down for you if I can. I don't have no glass up here, but I can use a bottle. Put top on it. Somebody be having a Holy Ghost bath and a water bath all at the same time. That's all right. You do you one bath a week, amen. This is a glass. And it talks about using a glass in the Bible on several occasions. Paul does. And he uses as seeing your face in a glass. And what he's talking about is seeing an image, all right? You can't see your actual face in the glass. What you see is an image, okay? Now I want you to grab a hold of that. It's not you that people are seeing. When they look at you, they're supposed to see the image of God when they see you. I wonder, do people see Jesus in your image? That's what Paul said, isn't it? That's what we just read. He said, if you don't, the Spirit is there, but we got to grab a hold of it, and we got to be able to see that image in that glass. My. Thanks to Calvary, God's plan for our redemption worked. Are you hearing me? God's plan for our redemption worked. Calvary changed everything. Brother Larry was saying, it's amazing that you sung that song, how God moved right in here this morning. Because as Jesus was hanging there, suspended between heaven and earth, on that old rugged cross, I don't know this, But can I give you some Helms thoughts this morning, Helms theology? I think that when Jesus died, the devil was saying, I won. I bet he was shouting. I bet he was going crazy. Man, I bet he didn't bother nobody that day. I bet he wasn't on nobody's back aggravating them that day. Because he had done one. Bless God, Jesus is on the cross. He's dead. I won. I thought he said he was going to win, but look who's dead. Can y'all just see the devil doing that? Just shaking his hand. And all of a sudden, they took Jesus down from that old rugged cross, and y'all know the rest of the story, how Joseph begged for his body. He said, he don't have a tomb, but Pilate, I've got one I've already cut out over here. For me, he can have it. And he said, if you'll let me have his body, I'll make sure that it's put in that tomb and that stone rolled in front. Y'all know it as well as I do, but it excites me to talk about it. But Joseph, he worked hard, his men, to hew that. Can you imagine taking a chisel and a hammer and knocking a hole in that big rock to use that as your grave? Can you imagine all the work that went into that? I mean, that's got to be a lot of work. And then him offer Jesus that. Little did he know he wasn't going to need it before the weekend. Amen. So Joseph took his body down, and the Bible says that Mary and Martha and Mary Magdalene and all them came and wrapped the body of Jesus and covered it with spices so it didn't stink, right? And then all of a sudden, boy, the devil's still having a big time, you know, thinking he done got by with all of it. Remember Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He used scripture to defeat him on the top of the mountain. Y'all remember that? Well, by the third day, Mary come going, just look at him one more time. And all of a sudden, the stone was rolled away. There was an angel sitting on top of that stone. One inside, and she walked in and she said, where's Jesus? Somebody done stole his body. Remember how he defeated the devil the first time by scripture? What did he tell his disciples? He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees in front of his disciples, he said, you tear this temple down, in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And he went back there. They went back, and here come a few of the disciples. And Peter, of course, he was a little short feller. He was slower than the rest of them. But, man, he went flying in there, and all he saw was the grave clothes. Y'all remember? And the face napkin, the head dress was folded up neatly, laying over there. All of a sudden, the devil looked, and Jesus wasn't in that grave no more. Bless God, I'm telling you, this right here went to this right here. He was so upset. But I'm here to tell you, thanks to Calvary, I am not the same man I used to be. And you here this morning never gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. The devil sitting there shaking his hands like this because he's got you whipped. But how many know the blood of Jesus Christ can wash all sin away? He can move the devil off of you and get you on your road to heaven. How many know, thanks to Calvary, you don't have to be the same when you leave here? You don't have to be that same way. God wants to transform you. What should happen when you're transformed? I want you to look at Galatians chapter 5. Remember I talked about the fruit of the Spirit, how the Spirit gives you, and the Spirit is God and Jesus? Look what it says here. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. If you've got Jesus in your heart, you'll have love. If you've got Jesus in your heart, you're going to have peace. If you've got Jesus in your heart, you're going to have long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I think many times, where would I be without Calvary? Maybe that's what's wrong with our nation. They hadn't found the right Jesus yet. They hadn't found the Jesus I found. Because all the love is gone. Instead of love, there's hate. How many know darkness cannot drive out darkness, but it takes the light to drive out darkness? You need to write that down. That's pretty good. You cut the switch off, it's still dark. The only way you can see again is light will overcome darkness. But darkness will never overcome light. I'm here to tell you, right emotions and right evidence in your life will show the world you have Jesus in your heart. Thanks to Calvary this morning. Right worship, right service, pleasing God. The way you live your life, I wonder this morning, do you live your life being thankful for Calvary? Question I have for you this morning. You know, I think, why would somebody want to go to hell? Do you know anybody that wants to go to hell? I've talked to a few people in my life over the years, and just a few told me, well, I'd just soon go to hell and be with all my friends. I tried. Can I tell you something? If your friends is taking you to hell, they ain't no friend at all.
That's right.
Did you hear me? A good friend will show you your way to heaven. Why would you sit right here this morning and hear this message on thanks to Calvary, what Jesus done for you, and walk out that door and die and go to hell? Why would you do that? When you have an opportunity this morning, and it's not hard, folks, people, there's three things I want to give you and I'm done. People think that I'm too bad that Jesus can't save. Can I say something? If that's the case, I'm lost. You're never too bad that Jesus can't save. You're never too dirty that Jesus can't clean. And you're never too far away that Jesus can't reach. He had to reach a long way for me. He had to reach way out for me. And He had to forgive a whole bunch for me. But how many know He's able? He's able. God is able this morning to save your soul. Miss Sandra, if you'd come. I want you to know this morning, if you don't ever think nobody loves you, Jesus loves you. He gave everything for you, including His life. He gave His only begotten Son to hang and die on an old rugged cross.